Food Truck 411, The Essential Information to Run a Successful Food Truck, is a new book written by Brian Branigan, owner and operator of Tortillaville. It's a popular Mexican fare food truck located in Hudson, New York. Food Truck 411 is a week in the life, a photo book, a cookbook, and a food truck operator's vantage point of life inside the truck. It is written with the intent to assist the budding food truck entrepreneur, although anyone intrigued with the modern-day food truck trend is certain to take interest as well. We welcome Brian Branigan to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So give us the point in your life where you say, okay, food truck.
Yes, well, that point is, for me, when I moved from the city, in this case Manhattan, to the Hudson Valley, to choose an alternative lifestyle in the country and to have a looser working environment. And, you know, you sort of have to reinvent yourself. There are no camera crane operator jobs like what I was doing in New York in the film industry. And so you have to say, okay, what do I do? For a while, you reinvent yourself in the form of design and odd jobs. You, of course, renovate your home, which is a big job, and you wonder sometimes why everyone else is getting paid $20 an hour and you're not. And you find the need where you really have to find some employment. And in this case, after a couple of things that we had done, it became a food truck. And I saw one on a corner one day. And lo and behold, that is what we're doing to this day.
What is it, do you think, about a food truck, about this type of cuisine that speaks to us? Because it is something, there's something very American about it, and there is something very, I don't know, for want of a better word, quaint.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's nostalgic, and the proliferation of modern-day food trucks is a new breed of people. It's people who are eating more consciously. They are choosing food by choice and nutrition, and they're much more familiar with the food. You know, what the days of putting just anything in front of someone are over, and people demand good food. And this gives an opportunity for a lot of people, chefs that might not be able to afford a restaurant startup, or the amateur chef who is wants to pursue a passion with a decent pay.
As far as the limitations, are there any? I mean, you're in a tight space, and you have to have a lot of stuff with you, and it's not like you have that kitchen or basement that you can go to get this. It is all what you bring with you.
It is. It's challenging. Weather is one of the biggest challenges. A busy food truck is a lot of work. You know, it's sort of a double-edged sword. You want to have great business, but it's very, very busy, and it can be very stressful. So, of course, bringing coolers to and from and changing propane and getting ice, these are also other challenges. But, you know, there are some trade-offs, and the book, you know, describes all this. It really does not glorify the food truck business. It acts as mentor, and, you know, it wants to save you money and get you there faster. It wants to discourage as much as it encourages, because if you're not cut out for it, we don't want you to spend your money and go through that time. Because after all, usually for many, this is a plan B, and, you know, time is really not on your side. So before you spend that money, we want you to know what you're getting into. And I think by the time you read the book, you'll know which side of the line you fall, whether you're cut out for it or not.
You have a section in the book, and you talk about this a lot, and it's important. And some of this seems to be where a little bit of luck comes into, and that has to do with location, of where you end up, of where you are placed within a community, within an environment that allows you to, whether you're with other food trucks, whether you're with other vendors, or you're there by yourself, of how you find that spot and continually get that spot.
Absolutely. You know, food trucks are a broad spectrum. They're all over the map. There's food trucks as mobile. There are food trucks as stationary. The norm is mobile, and you'll see them lined up with a flotilla of these different food trucks right here in Albany, in New York City, all over the place. But it's very true. Location is probably the highest hurdle of all the hurdles that you need to clear. And if you find one, you know, it can be a battle for livelihood, and you really have to hold on to it for your dear life. If you have a great location, it's super important. But it is different if you're mobile or stationary. We've done both, but right now we're stationary, and we're sort of more like an outdoor eatery with rustic planters and perennial plants, and even a bluestone path.
You have a screen door.
The screen door, you have to see it to fully appreciate it, but it's been this incredible, wonderful advantage for us. And I think for Hudson, too. You know, we love Hudson, and we've sort of become a little bit of a gaining landmark status and a little bit of a visitor center. And a lot of it's owed to the screen door.
And which gives it, I call it the WKRP in Cincinnati, Les Nessman look, where he had the tape that was sort of his office walls. And this is, because you have a screen door in the front of the courtyard or the eating area, it gives you a sense of well, this is really a restaurant without walls. There's a kitchen in the back, there's the seats up front, and this is where you're going for lunch.
Yeah,
there's a defined area.
We are a defined establishment just because of the door and the simple rope that is around the perimeter of our space. It becomes an establishment. It becomes a community within a community. There's something special going on when we arrive back, because we're seasonal and we go to the Florida Keys in the wintertime, and we come back to our space there. And enter we actually take the screen door down in the wintertime. And so when the screen door goes back up, the umbrellas go up, people often comment that we represent summer to them. And, you know, it's really, it's wonderful to meet the people that you otherwise would not get a chance to meet, and to see kids grow up and to have this place actually be a special place to them.
It is, I think, interesting in the fact that, well, first of all, of that space, do you have to buy that land? Do you own that land?
No, I'd love to own that land, but I am a tenant of the larger space. It used to be a garage and then a glass place, and now it's called 347. It's a industrial furniture, furnishings, and lighting shop. And so because it was a gas station, it has a good amount of property.
Yeah.
And so there's a few food trucks there. Also, behind us, there's several food trucks. We're the first official gourmet food truck, if you will, of Hudson, and
but you have to pay rent. Yeah, okay.
Initially, because you know, with food trucks, the regulations are still catching up to the whole business, and it was unclear. So I did pay the city a mobile vendor fee, but when it was determined that I wasn't really going to be leaving the property and it's private property, I didn't have to pay that fee anymore, and we just pay a monthly rent.
There, I grew up with a mother who would often say to me when we would go to different carnivals and fairs that she personally and instilled this in me that you may want to think twice about eating from an establishment that has a license plate attached to it, and and I thought, well, you know, and her point being that you don't know where it's coming from, you don't know where they've been the night before, mm-hmm. They were there on Monday, and you may never see them again. Yours obviously is a very different type of establishment. You're ingrained within the community. You talked about the children, seeing the children grow up.
Right.
People in that town know you, and they know the food. And that gets us into what you're actually serving, which is, in your case, tacos and burritos, but it's people are going for the food, and they're also going for the community, and there is that known quantity of it that sometimes is missing from food trucks, because they just pull up, and then you, for whatever reason, you never see them again.
Yeah. I mean, I can't speak for everyone because, you know, you really have to look at the individual trucks. But, you know, we like to believe that the days of the dirty water dog and the roach coach, as it was so-called, are over. And, you know, you look at a truck, and we have a lot of people say to us, like, I have never seen such a clean food truck. And with us, we're lower, so you can see right into it. You can see the food cooking. It's not like you're down on the street looking up at the ceiling of the vehicle. But it's something that we really pride ourselves on. And also, in the book, we, you know, we pride ourselves on, and we emphasize food safety, allergies that we've learned a great deal about, you know, and people asking, are there GMOs and is it gluten-free and things like that. It's fascinating the questions you get and you learn a lot. But things like food safety is huge. And I became a food safety manager. And, you know, it's just really, it comes down to good habits. You know, you can have bad habits and not clean up and think you're getting away with it. Or you have good habits and the place is spotless and it's just as easy.
And at the end of the day, the food has to be good or people aren't going to go there.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you really don't measure success by a long line in the first few weeks or something like that. You want to see what happens a year later. And so if you're getting customers back, that's the ultimate goal. It's like, you know, you people say that was great. And I just tell them, well, I'll know if it was really great if I see you return. That'll be the clue. Then I know that's the best thank you I can get, you know.
There are great recipes in the book as well. I'm curious as to, is there a sense, I mean, you're very much an advocate for this movement and for food trucks, so I don't know if you're the right person to ask this question to, but do you think with most food truck operators, and certainly include yourself in the answer, think, well, you know, if this works really well, it would be nice to have a permanent location. It'd be nice to have a brick and mortar place.
Yes. I think that many food truck entrepreneurs and proprietors go that direction. This is a start. Some love this lifestyle of just being seasonal and mom and pop in a sense, and not having employees and whatnot. But really, I think many do evolve and end up having a brick and mortar space in addition to their food truck. But you know, I'd be remiss if I was not to mention my partner Allison in all of this. And I could not do the, you mentioned the recipe. That's the part of the book that she wrote and she, you know, worked years on these recipes and also the design of the book, because we went a totally self-publishing route for this. And that was a really interesting journey too.
When people think about doing this kind of thing, what struck me about the book is you're very honest. I mean, and you said this at the beginning of our interview. This is a life for some people, and it's a life. It isn't a life for everybody. And no. I'm curious as to what surprised you about it. Was there something you said? Oh, well, because it would seem to me that both the good and the bad of like, oh, I didn't expect that. But by the same token, I'm getting this out of it that I didn't expect to either.
You know, I think you'll hear from most food truck proprietors that it's really one of the hardest things they've ever done. It's painstaking. You know, I say at one part in the book that it's brutal and a blast. It's liberating and laborious. It's mind bending and character building. I mean, it's these extreme qualities of things. So it is that, but it also is. You know, it's very rewarding. At the same time, it's a journey. I like to use that metaphor in the sense that it's different lengths of a ride for different people. For some, it might be a year and they just said, wow, I don't want to do this anymore. Or it's 5 years and they say, I've really done everything I had hoped to and more. And then for others, you know, you see people and they're putting their children through college selling, you know, food out of a food truck.
The name of the book is Food Truck 411, The Essential Information to Run a Successful Food Truck, the first comprehensive food truck book written by a food truck cook. So right now, who's running the food truck?
Allison is there. Jack, our employee, and we hired a couple of new girls, and they're working out great.
And that's the thing. I mean, this is like farming. It really never stops.
No, it's in fact, boy, if I could tell you what we do on our days off, it might be a little bit harder than our days on.
It's a great book. It's a lot of fun. And of course, you go to Hudson and have a burritos are great.
Oh, thank you very much. And yeah. Hudson's a great place. I think that everyone will enjoy visiting it.
Brian Brannigan is the author of Food Truck 411. My thanks to you, and best of luck with the book, best of luck with the food truck, and thank you very much for joining us and telling us a story.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff.
Appreciate it. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.